for you. All right, we have stories coming up next. A wonderful new friend of the Nerdlogs. He helped us run our game night last week. Super great dude from Peaches and Hot Sauce. He hosts the One Shot podcast, James D'Amato.
Thanks, everyone. It wasn't explained to me that it would be following Thriller. So that's just the worst. But seriously, thank you, guys. When I heard the theme for this month, I instantly thought about my favorite historical hero. He was a man who believed that people deserve freedom, justice, and education. A man who was willing to suffer for his conviction. A person who maintains an extremely tenuous relationship with the truth, even today. I am speaking, of course, of Niccolo Machiavelli. I can tell that some of you are not thinking of Machiavelli in the same terms that I do. He is, after all, a guy who spent his entire life scheming to destroy his political rivals while wearing black robes and rocking a goatee with a widow's peak. Today, this guy's name literally means thought marked with cunning, duplicity, or bad faith. And his political philosophy is literally the view that politics are so amoral by nature that any means of attaining power, no matter how unscrupulous, is completely justifiable. All that stuff is totally true, but despite that, Machiavelli is totally the good guy. The Renaissance was a remarkable period for art and culture. For politics, it was a total shit show. The two ruling families at the time were the Medici and the Borgias. To put it in scholarly terms, they were history's greatest dirtbags. Seriously, these dudes were like Tywin Lannister, Littlefinger, and Aerys Targaryen all rolled into one. Really? Which one? Come on! Lorenzo de' Medici, Machiavelli's greatest enemy, was the de facto ruler of Machiavelli's native Florence. His Wikipedia entry states that Lorenzo is remembered as a patron of the arts who ruled during Italy's golden age, which ended shortly after his death. If you invest a little bit more time into understanding this particular character, you'll find that Lorenzo was a despot, and the reason the Golden Age ended in Florence is someone pissed away all the region's wealth on ridiculous monuments to himself and his family. At that time, Italy was a disassociated collection of principalities, the rulers of which were all similar to Lorenzo, selfish, incompetent, and short-sighted. Machiavelli spent his days reading histories and political philosophy. The Greek and Roman republics were his favorite subjects. He spent every day reveling in the idea of existing in a republic. Born in the Florentine Republic, Machiavelli only got to experience republican life for a very short period of time. Machiavelli's detractors credit this to his incompetence as a military leader. And make no mistake, Machiavelli's Art of War was a shit show. It was controversial because from a military perspective, it was totally wrong-headed. Machiavelli asserted that infantry was the true power of war. Despite the popularity of artillery and cavalry, maintaining a large standing army was, in his opinion, the only way to stay safe as a state. He also suggested that the strongest army would be one made up of citizens and not mercenaries. In his words, mercenaries lack the conviction and loyalty of a man defending his home. Though Machiavelli did lead several successful battles on behalf of the Florentine Republic, with his art of war strategies, he was eventually defeated by overwhelming force, and many scholars remember the art of war as one of his greatest failures. However, that's only if we forget that Machiavelli is an extremely canny and duplicitous politician. If you break down his art of war and compare his Republican value and see it in light of his Republican values, it's actually a brilliant political maneuver. He advises military leaders to do away with artillery and cavalry, the only units which are likely to contain nobility. he espouses the values of citizen militias, in effect telling his political enemies to maintain large armies of citizens, the people Machiavelli sought to propel him into a position of real power. You see, Machiavelli was a huge proponent of something called the divine trick. Originally proposed by Plato in the Myth of the Irons, the divine trick is essentially the idea that with the correct religion and governance, people could be fooled into creating a utopian society. He really thought he could trick everyone around him into doing what was best for themselves. Unfortunately, this particular gambit failed utterly. Shortly after his militia fell, he was seized and charged with conspiracy against the Medici. He was tortured for 3 weeks by the rope. The rope, for those of you who don't know about medieval torture, is when they would bound your arms behind your back and then drop you from a great height and suspend you by your arms to repeatedly dislocate your shoulders. Really terrifying. Under this torture, under 3 weeks of receiving this torture periodically every day, he refused to break. Most of all, he refused to admit any wrongdoing. And because he was a noble, he was released 3 weeks after his torture. So he went on, after being released from this torture, to write his most famous work, The Prince, which was supposedly a way of apologizing to the Medici and swearing his allegiance to them. In reality, it was a tremendous fuck you to every single petty dictator in Italy. The Prince is supposed to be advice on ruling, but he addressed it to Lorenzo the Magnificent. And in his introduction, he calls Lorenzo, Lorenzo the Magnificent, which would be a fine way to appeal to Lorenzo's ego if Lorenzo did not happen to have an uncle who was actually called Lorenzo the Magnificent because he actually did good things with his rule. Essentially, what Machiavelli was saying in that introduction was, to Lorenzo, who will never be his uncle. Now, there are only a few sentences actually dedicated to maintaining a traditionally hereditary principality in the prince. Because, as he points out, if such a prince is of ordinary ability, he will be able to maintain his state. The subtext reads more like this. Unless you are a tremendous fuck-up, it takes no effort to be prince. Actually, because of the context of Lorenzo's family having quite recently lost and reclaimed power, combined with Machiavelli's constant allusion to the actual Lorenzo the Magnificent, the passage reads more like this. Unless you are a tremendous fuck-up, which we both know you are, it takes no effort to be prince. The bulk of The Prince actually deals with conquering other states. This is where the book gets its bad reputation. He essentially tells Lorenzo the only way to unseat another prince is to murder him along with every single member of his family. The reason being, because a prince does absolutely nothing, to maintain power, the citizenry is not going to remember the follies of the old prince, and they'll see every mistake of the new prince as incompetence. If a member of his family should become a public figure, the citizenry would rally behind him, remembering only the golden days of old. The section that really shows Machiavelli's true colors, though, is what he wrote about free states. Free states being republics. Machiavelli suggested that free states still have a ruler. Instead of a human prince, the leader of a free state is liberty itself. It's difficult unseating liberty because liberty is immortal. Long after you remove a free state, liberty lives on in the minds and hearts of every man, woman, and child that ever lived under that banner. Machiavelli suggested that the only way to ever truly conquer a free state is to kill everyone who ever lived in it. Now, he does offer a different path for the prince who is squeamish about genocide. To effectively conquer, and he phrases it like this, to effectively conquer a free state, one can change no laws, as it would absolutely upset the citizenry and cause a revolt. To monitor a free state, it is best for a prince to move the capital of his empire to the capital of the free state. and it only makes sense that the laws of the land should reflect the laws of the capital, so the laws of the free state should be proliferated throughout all of your territories. Finally, to avoid potential revolt, a prince should personally adopt every law and custom of his land, effectively advising a prince conquering a free state to give up his country and to rule and to allow the citizens to rule him and to accept liberty as his prince. After several chapters warning any aspiring prince against cruelty, oppression, or miserliness, he goes on once again to herald the virtues of maintaining a strong citizen army. If there is any doubt about Machiavelli and his intent for the prince, he ends it with this poem, Discipline Over Rage. Will to take up arms, and the battle will be short. For ancient valor is still alive in the hearts of Italy. Perhaps it is fitting that the majority of people remember Machiavelli as a monster. After all, he believed the truth was a privilege meant only for those clever enough to continue telling lies. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, James. See, you come to your stories, you learn stuff. This is quality programming.